The Big 12, the Big East, and big data. At the beginning of college football season, Techonomics host Jason Middleton takes a couple of new angles on the sport and its fans. What do fans order to eat before kickoff? And how much are the tickets going to cost for the biggest games of the season? Also in this segment, Apple is in court against Qualcomm. To answer this question, what is the most valuable part of a smartphone? Is it the camera or is it the connectivity? Those chats start now.
Hello and welcome back. And are you ready for some football? Cleats, helmets, inspirational speeches and stories, age-old rivalries. Those are great stories. There are stories for other shows, though. On Techonomics, we're taking a data-driven approach to the beginning of college football season. First, Facebook tried to get video streaming rights to NFL games last year. Those rights went back to Twitter. But this year, Facebook has college games to stream. So if you're a fan of Conference USA or the Mountain West, you're in luck. Those games start streaming on September the 2nd. Next up, we have food and tickets. First, some stats from Grubhub on collegiate dining habits. The top three caffeinated schools are the University of Chicago, MIT, and Babson College. For a notable school with a notable football team, it's number 10, UCLA, for caffeination, a word I just made up. Of the top schools that order late-night meals, one is a notable football school. Late-night diners, in order, 1 through 3, Morgan State University, Michigan State University, and Berklee College of Music, to which my brother-in-law is an alumni, and he says bunch of stoners. Now, let's swing over to tickets for these college football games. Here's my chat with VividSeats.com.
Janine Tornator, senior editor for Vivid Seats.
You sit on a bunch of data at VividSeats.com, ticket data, of course. Let's go right to the meat of the order here. How do the top conferences stack up when it comes to the price of a ticket?
Well, the most expensive conference is going to be the SEC with a median ticket price of $121. That's followed by the Big Ten. They're at a median ticket price of $100. Then you have the Big 12 at $81, the Pac-12 at $77, and the ACC at $71.
There was one cool question in here I wanted to get to. That's the neutral site matchups. How are those shaping up, those neutral site matchups?
Yeah, well, not only are they some of our top season openers, but they also make the top of our list just for the regular season football matchups. So we have the Advocare Classic, which is in Arlington, Texas. This is the Florida Gators versus Michigan. This is our number one ranked season opener and also just our number one ranked game in terms of ticket sales for the overall season. Number two for both of those season openers and overall season is Virginia Tech versus West Virginia. That's another neutral site game. And then you have other ones within those top games, including the Texas Kickoff Classic, which is the LSU Tigers versus BYU Cougars, the Chick-fil-A Kickoff, which is Georgia Tech versus Tennessee. Then another big one, especially as a season opener, is the Alabama Crimson Tide versus the Florida State Seminoles. So those are really the big ones that are leading off the season, but also kind of taking top billing for just ticket sales for the whole season as well.
Well, you have the top 25, I know, in front of you, matchups of the season. We don't have time to go into all 25, obviously. Do you have any West Coast ones that kind of pop out at you off that list?
Yeah, most of them actually are not West Coast. Just kind of looking through this quickly for West Coast games. I mean, honestly,
no.
I don't think any of them are West Coast games within our top 25, which is really interesting.
Well, let's run down the top five.
No West Coast games on the top 25. Yeah, it's pretty interesting. So number one, Florida versus Michigan. That's also their season opener. Virginia Tech versus West Virginia, another season opener. But again, these are the top 25 of the season. Mm-hmm. Number three is Georgia versus Notre Dame. Then you have Kansas State versus Vanderbilt. And number five, Georgia versus Tennessee. So those are our top five selling games on Vivid Seats for the entire season.
Okay. I'm just going to chalk it up to we have a little bit more to do on the West Coast outside. I don't know. I don't know how to explain that either because, you know, Stanford, Cal, it's good teams. Oregon, come on.
Right.
Two quick ones before we let you go because these are also kind of general but also very interesting. What are the most expensive teams to see in their home stadiums? Now, that one, I'm going to take a guess and say Alabama.
Alabama's number three. You probably will say, okay, when I tell you number one, it's number two. Number one's Ohio State. Number two is Notre Dame. We got number three is Alabama. Then we've got Clemson for number four, and Virginia Tech rounds out the top five.
Virginia Tech at number five.
Yeah, their tickets, the median price is $127 at Lane Stadium. So they're definitely up there. Ohio State with a median ticket price at Ohio Stadium of $200 a ticket.
I'm going to have to look it up, but I think that Ohio State seats about 100,000, almost 100,000 people. Wow, this is big business.
Yeah.
Okay, last one.
The
most searched college football teams on vividseats.com, period. I mean, you're the ticket site, right? You sell the most tickets. What are the most searched for college football teams?
Yeah, so this isn't necessarily people that are always buying, but this is what people that are out there looking for tickets and looking at their teams. Alabama's number one search team on our site, followed by Michigan, Notre Dame, Ohio State, and LSU for the top five.
And what kind of data do you surface if somebody comes and searches Alabama? What do I get?
Well, you're going to find all of the games for the entire season and all of your ticket options. So the cool thing about going to a site like Vivid Seats, even though their average ticket price may be $219 for one of their games, somebody might have tickets they can't use when you get closer to the game. So you might actually be able to find tickets less than face value in some cases. But again, for these big games, you're probably not going to be quite so lucky. But I know people always tend to think of sites like Vivid Seats as the place to go when tickets are sold out and you're going to be paying a premium, but that's not always the case. Sometimes if you're looking last minute, you can find some pretty great deals.
That was Janine Tornatore. She's a spokesperson for VividSeats.com. Sorry, Pac-12, you just don't have the game that the Southeast has. To close out this week's show, we are going back to the courtroom. Apple versus Qualcomm. It's heating up litigation in San Diego over not just patents, but what is, legally speaking, the most important part of a smartphone? Is it the camera? Or is it connectivity to the web? Or maybe something else? Here's my chat with a veteran journalist and patent expert.
Mike Swift, the chief global digital risk correspondent at Amlex Market Insight.
Yeah, let's not overlook the global part because we're speaking globally. Well, let's start there. Mike, you were in San Diego. What did you see during this push, I guess, in this legal case?
It was basically kind of like opening day in that it was the first time that both companies were up before the judge who's going to be overseeing this case. And so we really got a sense of how it may play out in the next couple months and years.
What's at stake here? What are they fighting over?
They are fighting over essentially how you apportion the value of a smartphone, whether it's the built-in features like the camera or the security, or it's the fact that it can connect to the internet anytime, any place, and sort of what really drives the value of the phone between those two things.
What were your takeaways? Like, what was your impression of what went down on Friday?
Well, there were a couple noteworthy things. There was a bit of a bombshell in that Qualcomm admitted that a second big smartphone maker besides Apple had stopped making patent payments because of the challenge to Qualcomm's business model. That was pretty huge. That's news that hadn't come out before. The second was Qualcomm is playing here on its home turf, just a few miles from its headquarters. And the judge very clearly signaled that he's still going to be looking at their claims critically. He really sent a very strong signal to their lawyers that they can't really expect favorable treatment just because they're the home team in this case. And the city of San Diego has a lot at stake in this litigation for sure.
A couple of quick follow-ups. Let's go back to the company that stopped making patent payments. What does that mean? Do companies just opt out of those at will?
No, they certainly cannot opt out of them at will. It's going to mean legal action, probably. Qualcomm would not say, their lawyers would not say which company it is. Their company officials, after the hearing, would not comment on it. They haven't revealed this in any earnings reports, although for the next quarter, I would think they would certainly have to. But it's huge because it's one of the major smartphone makers. We think it might be Samsung. It could be LG. Could be Huawei. We just don't know, but it's going to be a significant revenue hit for Qualcomm, one would think.
And speaking of revenue, when it comes to patents and it comes to giant tech companies like Apple and Qualcomm, is there a ballpark figure we can put against this? You know, headlines love to have numbers in them.
You know, it's really hard to say in terms of numbers because often companies cross-license their patents, so there might not be that much money that goes back and forth, but they agree that each of them have licenses to to their patents, so there won't be any litigation. It's really almost like a nuclear deterrence. In that sense, it's like it can often be a defensive asset that means that nobody is going to sue you because of your patent portfolio. So it's almost impossible to put a dollar value to that. I wish I could help with that, but it's just not possible.
All right. Well, Mike, thank you so much. Mike Swift works locally, distributes globally.
Bye-bye. Okay. Yep. Bye.
That was Mike Swift. He's with MLEX.com and follows tech companies, their patents, and their legal dramas. For a link to Mike's work and MLEX, check out the story that goes with this week's show. It's on KGORadio.com/Techonomics. And that's it for this week's show. Thank you for listening. If you want the podcast versions of this and all of our shows, several places to browse, KGORadio.com/Techonomics. Or search Techonomics via keyword at Stitcher, Audio Boom, and iTunes. We also do the Facebook stuff. Find us at Facebook.com/Techonomics Radio. For producer Liana Wilcox and executive producer Mike Anthony, I'm writer and host Jason Middleton. This has been Techonomics, and have great weeks, everybody.